Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
As we said, God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Remember that the next time somebody tries to talk you out of believing that. We have that happen from time to time. Sometimes people don't have an understanding that God is good all the time. And it's hard to reason with people sometimes and convince them that he's good. So, testimonies. Who has some praise reports and testimonies of the good things God is doing? Yes, Tom.
The first one says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. There's another adage that says, if you have nothing good to say, don't say anything. And the reason why I'm so excited to talk about Jesus is because he's good.
Amen.
And this is not about me. It's one of the sure things that happen. Soon follows what I do at work, my chapel on wheels. And this week, during the rainstorm on Wednesday, at work, it happened to be a man, very hostile. I couldn't do my job. And the next day, I told him I left my wife for 2.5 years. I mean, that was, I'm talking about trees, that I had left Carol. And it's like I punched him right in the face. He staggered back. And I talked about the whole reconciliation, what God had did impossible. And every time I talked about things, it's like I could just hit physically moved. And he wasn't, he was just moved. And then he stopped. He said, this is uncanny. Your life is what I'm going through now. There's bitterness. All these things that he sees, he doesn't know what to do. Then he tells me he's a believer. He's been taking his wife to church. He's been separated for 2 years. Every Sunday, faithfully, he goes to a body and he wants to strangle her into the church.
Wow.
Well, that's a concept. So I asked,
believe or
yeah. Oh God, this grabbed me to witch, right? Make her change. And I asked him, what about you? Doesn't that want to change you? Well, what do you go to church for? This is a question to the congregation. Everyone here, why do you come? And when I asked him 4 times, why does he go to church? There was no answer. There was just a befuddled look. And I said, I testified, I go to church on Sunday expecting God to move in my life. I go with the expectation. Sometimes I have a need that I need addressed. Other times I just want to be with him, but I have the expectation. He starts to cry a little bit. He can't forgive his wife, but he knows he has to. Would you not forgive your wife? He can't. And he goes, it's a spirit of bitterness. I says, God is ready to give you that discernment of what's attacking you. That spirit of bitterness. It has nothing to do with your relationship with your wife. It's that bitterness is preventing you. Jesus forgave us. He was on the cross. He forgave us of our sins. Can we not, at least if you're a believer or a follower, forgive the one that's hurt you? And usually as a family member or someone that's really close that hurts you the most, you get riled up. And he looked at me and he's breaking down. And I said, well, sir, there's only one thing left to do. And he goes, what's that? May I pray for you? His arms go out. Yes. Laid hands on him and prayed. And we're done praying. He testified, this is a moment of God. He needed this. It was all God. And then I said, today, when he's in services, may someone speak a word confirming of what happened. And I was thinking of his body. How can we know? No one knew Carol and I were separated for that period of time. When I started coming, Carol would come here at night, I'd be here in the morning. But here's a church that's actively involved in his life, knowing that there's a bitter family dispute, and there's no word of encouragement, no one's prayed for him. What type of body? We don't have that type of body. We are coming expecting. We see God move, and we should tell others at what God's doing. So he goes back towards his house, and now it was pouring, and he turned to me and said something, and I don't even know what I said. I know it's all the Holy Spirit. And he broke down like a little boy. In his yard, he's sobbing. And it's good. It's a good sob. I know it's good. I get in the car, and I share this with Rick, because sometimes things happen and you don't know. I sat there, I made the move. I know what was going on, and then the words came to me. I said, God, if I job that you have me. Forgive me. I thank you that I'm in a position where I can do your will when you ask me to, and I have the freedom to do that. Doesn't make a difference if I'm being persecuted by my employer or they're threatening my job. There are hurting people out there that are going to be subject to violence, suicide, whatever. And God has us there. If we can get through the personal stuff and people poke at us and just live and act like Jesus did, He will transform the lives. That man had such a big heart. I know there's a healing coming. Really, occurred with him first, not his wife. And that was the main thing. I just sat in my car and thanked the Lord for the opportunity to be one and to be used, to be used, and just to thank Him. And it's not about time. It wasn't what Jesus did, and that man opened up the door from coming out really hostile, because we get hostile and defensive when we're getting poked. But he allowed the Holy Spirit to minister to him in such a way. And I witnessed that. And I thank you, He used me. But it wasn't like I wasn't degrading myself. It's just thank you, Lord. That was the first thing. The other good news is I dared to trust God in His provision for help and restoration. My eyes have been bothering me for a while, and a while ago the Lord said, take off your glasses. I take off my glasses and I'm walking through the woods. That wasn't a good thing. And I didn't say, I'm laughing at the Lord. Okay, Lord, take off the glasses. But I'm going to trust you. And so I've been walking around and came to the prayer walk. And this week the vision got really bad. And I got this, I'm laughing. I said, I do have an idea what happened. So I went in Friday for my eye exam. And after the eye exam, the nurse comes out and says, this is nothing short of a miracle. Your eyesight is better now than it was 5 years ago. That's for my long distance vision. She says, this doesn't happen. This is a miracle. So I got to testify about India, about the healings. I said, no one in America believes the healings, but in India they believe this is nothing wrong. And she said, well, your reading vision has decreased. And that's, of course, at age. So I repeat that, because I won't accept that.
What age?
Age. Well, age and the effects of age in our body. And now, so she told me that it's illegal for me to drive with these prescriptions because these glasses are hindering my eyesight. So that's another word for the body. You can heal, and you're still looking at your life through the old glasses. That's my crutch. The new glasses are going to be so dramatically changed for my long distance vision, and they're just going to change my prescription for that. Until the next time, I'm been healed. We've all been healed. And you pray and believe it, and it has happened. And for me, it's been 5 years to get a doctor's note or her own testimony that this is nothing short of a miracle. Because this doesn't happen for long distance. I just want to thank the Lord. So I have so much to praise about, so I just pray that the person that is loose to speak something, please don't be embarrassed. You need to hear and be encouraged by the Lord's doing in your life individually so we can apply it to our lives. It's nice to talk about Jesus, and it's nice to talk about the healing over there. But when we hear what the brothers and sisters say, I can receive it. And today I know that we want to receive everything.
Oh, look at the hands now. Cam?
On the heels of that, I just want to share something. It's a little different kind of a testimony than we normally would think. We all know how, when we have pets, how they become over time. If we have pets for any length of time, they become part of the family. And they really become part of the family. Lori and I have been saying sometimes, well, when did that change? You know, I mean, years ago growing up, I remember having dogs or cats. her golden years, certainly. And we got home from camping last two weeks ago. We usually typically go shopping the other week, but we put it off until that next Saturday when we get back. And she was fine. We always put her in her crate when we go away for a few hours or whatever. So we did that day. She was in her crate for 3 hours. She was fine that morning, running around like she normally does and stuff. When we got home and let her out of her crate, she collapsed. She kept falling down. She was wobbling everywhere. She could not walk a straight line. Very visibly unstable, falling everywhere. Took her out. She fell down the steps. Had to pick her up to go down the stairs, outdoors, and so on. When she went to do her thing, she fell backwards as she was doing her thing, and everything. During the course of this, being the weekend, we figured that, what the heck is going on? And I'm going to try to make this as short as I can, but being the weekend, we felt that, you know, I didn't really want to call because of the weekend. We figured, well, let's see what's going on. Let's wait until first of the week. But all that, the Saturday and all that, on the Sunday, we have a piece of furniture, our couch, that she had always been able to get on. She could not jump up on that. She'd fall backwards, collapse on the floor. It was just going every which way. So we knew something was very wrong. We got her to the doctor up in Rutland Monday, and ran some tests, everything else, took x-rays, everything seemed to be okay, but it was just very baffling anyway. And so he prescribed a number of different medications. He's on like four medications. And I immediately thought, well, maybe your dogs have strokes, seizures. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. And that was my thought. But anyway, the notice on the papers that they sent home is call in 2 or 3 days, see if she's not getting better or if she's worse, certainly call immediately. But we waited until Thursday, Friday, okay. It was the fourth day anyway. We've gone 3 days. It seemed like she was doing better, and everything, and we could probably figure, lay that on the medication that she was on, but still kind of unstable. I did have to build a ramp for her outdoors to come up our deck because she just couldn't do the stairs. Well, in the meantime, all this being said, separately, Lori and I laid hands on her dog. We prayed for her. We laid hands on the dog. And each day, she can get a little better. When I called the doctor on the fourth day, because we had noticed there's some other things that were going on. Her eating habits have changed. She was slobbering a lot and so on and so forth. She also, you know, when we talk to our dogs or pets, sometimes they'll kind of cough their head and look cute and everything else. Her head was, she has been veering to the right and listening to the right, and her head was cocked to the right. And so I was telling the doctor all this when I called. And he mentioned, I can't think of the word, he mentioned, well, maybe it's something like this, and referring to what we would call vertigo. When we have vertigo, we would go off balance and everything else. And so that possibly could be it, but usually if it is, they might recover within 72 hours or something like that and be fine. And even if it was a seizure or a stroke, they would still tend to recover. So anyway, he said, the way you're describing things, he said, I would almost lean toward it's possibly a brain tumor. And he says, if it is, then there's nothing that we could do. Well, after we got the phone with the doctor and stuff during the course of the morning, she was laying down, and I put my hand on her head, and I denounced any kind of brain tumor, I in Jesus' name, and everything else. Well,
I'll get up there too.
Well, I'll just sit over here. Y'all carry on.
Feel free to sit down.
Thank you.
I was going to answer Tom's question because, you know, he said, why do we go to church? And immediately I had these thoughts. And I was like, you know, I go to church because I've gone to church since I was this big. And whether or not I follow the rules of church and stuff like that, I go because I know church. And I know that when you follow God's rules and not rules, but you, when you follow God, when you follow His word, read His word, it's evident in your life. I could have been in such worse places in my life if I hadn't been in church. You know, when I drove the car to a tree drunk because, you know, I was trying to be a kid, and I survived. And, you know, it's like, you know, the things I've been through have been, you know, somebody would look at them and say, wow, you know, that's pretty crazy. That's pretty stupid. And, yeah, it is. But I believe if I hadn't had God on my side, I don't believe I would have made it this far. Because, yeah. So, the reason I go to church is because, you know, like, I have peace. Because that's where you, you know, that's where you go come together. You know, once a week, you come together, and you reach out to God. And of course, you reach out to Him every day, but it's where you come together with the fellowship of believers. And you know, like it or not, and whether you believe this or not, this builds something inside of you. And when you keep coming back, and you keep, you know, listening to the baby cry, and you keep coming back, and you keep, and you know, getting God's word instilled inside of you, and you know, it builds like a, I don't know. All I can say is that there's been many times I didn't want to go to church and everything like that. There's been times I've skipped church because of different things, but when you go to church, you get peace. I guess that's all I can say. the other thing. Tom was talking about, you know, when we share, and if we felt led to share, then we ought to, and everything else. And I was thinking, wow, what happened in my life this week that I could share about? Well, Thursday, we had an appointment in Rutland, and early in the morning, so we went up there and did what we had to do. And that was a blessed appointment. And things went really, really well in our appointment. And so we got out of the appointment, and Emily said, well, we have until, what was it, 5 o'clock, I think.
Yeah.
Do whatever. Wow. Free day. Nice. So we, you know, we packed the lunch before we left. And so we went to the park at the corner of West Street and Route 7 and sat there and just, you know, ate lunch and just really had a fun day, had a peaceful day, and the day was going so great. So I thought it was so such a good idea to drive the back way out of Rutland. And I'd go, oh yeah, that's gonna be nice, you know, it'll be relaxing and everything else. And so we took Door Drive out of Rutland, and we're just cruising down, going by the farms and this and that. This is nice. We came on this construction. They were paving the road, probably like south of the city, a couple of miles on what was the Crick Road. Well, we pulled up to this guy after we passed all the flagger signs and everything else. We pulled up to this guy, and he's holding us those flagger signs, you know, stop. You can see where they're paving down over the hill in this long straight section, and there's two rollers going back and forth paving the pavement out, rolling it out. And out of the car, and like there's 100 mosquitoes, like right here, you know. So we're fighting with mosquitoes and trying to keep them off of Hannah, and you know, our day was so perfect, you know, so much fun, so relaxing, and then it takes like one split second to just fire things up, and then all of a sudden we're ripping each other a new one, and you know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's bad. So so anyway,
stay on guard.
Just to stay on guard, because as soon as we took authority over those spirits, and as soon as we said the name of Jesus, our day was just back to the way it was. But the thing is, it took us like 45 minutes to think of that. So we're hauling in each other over the years, and it's like, why did we not think of that? You know? So I hope I answered Tom's question.
Yes, I think of as a testimony to your life and to others, and I think of Sam as well. I've known you two since before you were teenagers. You were very young, and I remember when Tyler was laying up at Dartmouth and he had more tubes sticking in and out of him than a porcupine, and nobody knew whether he was going to live or die. We were believing he would live because we laid hands on him, but to see your lives now from back then to where you are now, and it came for those very reasons, because it's the Spirit of God and the Word of God that bring change in our lives. And I know that to first-time visitors here, we preach a radical gospel. We preach what Jesus preached. And you know, the neat thing of it is when you speak what Jesus preached, you get the same results that Jesus got. Because the message has never changed. And we're not shy about that or sharing our lives with each other. We're all, in one sense or another, a walking miracle because of what God has done in our lives. So, you were talking about church, and we have a neighbor she asked us to pray that her house would sell quickly. That's the one that adjoins this property on the side. And many years she's wanted to get baptized. She was a believer for many years. But every time she went to find a minister or a pastor or a priest to baptize her as a believer, they always put a condition. They put a law with it. Oh, well, I'm not going to baptize you unless you become a member of our church. And so for years she got turned off to going to church because of that. She also has two daughters and a son. The two daughters are saved. Same thing. Just because they didn't belong to a local church, they were told by church leaders that they had to belong to somebody's church before they could get baptized. So one day I was working in the yard out here, and she came and asked me, "Do I have to be a member of your church for you to baptize me?" I says, "No, because if you're born again, you're already a member of the church. And who can take away from that?" And she was so relieved. And last Sunday after church at 3:00, she and her two daughters came to where, well, Plymouth State Park at Echo Lake, and we went in that holy water. Amen. Some of you have been there in that holy water, and it's awesome. And the wonderful transformation and the freedom of knowing that church puts so many laws and doctrines and restrictions on you to grow. We only have two. We really only have two. You have no reputation until you make one for yourself. Number two, if you're not willing to grow, you just have the freedom to stay where you are. Because no one is going to provoke you or push you or squash you or step on you. The Word of God is here to lift you up, not club you down and hold you in bondage. And that's, I can't say it any plainer than that. But I'm thankful to have known some of you for so many years and see the wonderful changes in your lives and the growth. Now you're married and got children. And Hannah's getting her word in there. Hallelujah. That's all right. She'll be praising with the rest of us in a few minutes. Yes, Katie. Friend time is important. Yes. Yeah. Someone else? Yes, Barb?
I don't think I shared this, but a week ago, I think it was, I came home, there was a message on my phone machine, and I listened to it, and I'm going, who the heck is this, you know? And it was something like, yeah, I got your, and I couldn't hear it, so I had to listen to it again. Your book, it looks like it's going to work, and I'm going to try it this week, and
Yes, Diane.
As most of you know, my oldest daughter has come to live with me, and it's a test of everything for me. And I've been coming to church and, you know, the Bible study on Wednesday, and, you know, just sharing the emotional turmoil that I'm going through. And, you know, when I came Sunday, something was different when I went home, you know, and I came again Wednesday to the Bible study, and not only was something different, but something is different in my home, and I don't believe it's my work. I believe it's the Lord working in my home, and I truly believe it's from a direct result from the prayer coming from this church. And, you know, it's just, it's never going to be a perfect situation, but it's almost a livable situation, which is huge, because, you know, this child had the ability to put me into an insane asylum in 2 weeks, and it's been almost a month since she's been here, and I'm sane. That's not me working. Okay, that is really not me working. That is the Lord working through you guys in your wonderful prayers, keeping me going, you know. And I'm just so grateful for this church in my life. And it's just amazing. You know, it's just amazing that I can sit here and not be an emotional basket case. And, you know, at one time that just wasn't possible. So it's just amazing what God is doing in my life and in my family's life. And I just praise Him every day. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, these kind of testimonies they bring it right home. When I go to India and you see some of the pictures I bring back with a woman that was stomped by the elephant and her leg was all smashed and mangled, you're being restored, and you use the word sanity, but I say the Lord is restoring your soundness of mind, and that you have peace not only from here, but it's a peace that lasts. To me, that is just as big a miracle. And Chelsea, Tyler, Sam, all of you that learn how to win in everyday life's ups and downs and battles, and not being shy about taking that stand for Christ and giving Him the glory for it, that's really huge, because that is one of the reasons we come. You know, and the scriptures tell us that when we come together, we're to edify and build up and encourage one another in our faith. It isn't always about one person having a sermon. It's about you are the sermon. Your lives reflect the Word of God, and that it's working in your lives by the Spirit. And that's always a wonderful testimony. No, we're not traditional. I wouldn't know what to do in a traditional place. I've never been traditional since I got saved. That's Sharon. Oh, Faith and I are part of her fruit from 30 years ago, and the fruit's getting older, but it gets aged like good wine, right, Sharon? Amen. Right. So each time we come together like this, this is a time of great encouragement to one another. Someone else have a testimony? Oh, another one, Emily.
Well, my brother and I have not had the best, fuzziest of relationships. In fact, his way of showing me he cared when I was a child was beating the crap out of me on a regular basis to toughen me up. So, and I think it went a little bit beyond the normal brother-sister thing. So anyway, we've always had sort of a strained relationship, and when he had his first child, things changed a little bit between us, and I didn't hate him quite as much because I had a little nephew to play with. It's gotten a little bit better over the years. Things really started to change when Tyler came around. My brother has always been kind of rough around the edges and pretty gruff
good. Wow, you got a lot of moms and grandmas in here to help out. A lot of wisdom in the house.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Lord.
I appreciate it, too.
Priscilla. Because it's Mission Sunday, our theme kind of is around that, but it's not just missions, but all your testimonies are really important, because God is always on a mission to change lives, whether it's here or halfway around the world. And Laurie brought a video last week for me to watch. It's a 12-minute video, and she will explain more of the ministry behind the beads. I can tell you that the country is Uganda, and I can tell you that under the dictatorship of Idi Amin, he was an absolutely ruthless butcher of a dictator. Would go into villages and round up all the men and take them out and have them all executed, leaving the wives with children, destitute, and have nothing. And probably right after our praise session of praise, I'd like to show that video in my place. I have the opening scripture, but I'd like to share that after the video, because I kind of would like to take a little break now, like we always do for Huggy Break, but have our missions offering, then have the praise and worship, then the video, because I think that after we've praised and worshiped some more, it will have our hearts some more open to see what God is doing in other places too, besides where we always talk about, where we always go. And this is going to give you an opportunity to be exposed to another ministry that you have opportunity to participate in, and Laurie can certainly fill in all the missing details. I'm just giving you the guidelines. But what's going on in India is Pastor Sherrard is sitting in his room. He's isolated for under quarantine, and he's been having some trouble with a thyroid gland and possible cancer, and he's been taking iodide, nuclear iodide treatments, and they're very radioactive, and so when he has them, he can't be around his family, he can't be around anybody. So what I'd like to do is to take a couple pictures, one on the left, one on the right, and then put them together and send them, these two pictures, to him. And I tried this when all the seats were empty, so I know it'll work. They were very much receptive of the quilt you sent, but I just think a wave and happy smiling faces might cheer him up. So I'm going to go with this side first. Everybody got your hand up waving to him? All right, we'll do that. See, this is a ministry of rejoicing and celebration and an encouragement. That'll be lovely. Let's do this side. Emily, can you come a little bit more to your right?
Talk, everybody.
Yeah, there we go. All right, look at all those happy faces for Jesus. There. He'll have these before the day is out. Thank you. Reach out and smile at somebody. Well, before we receive this missions offering, I want to tell you again that when I was in India 3 weeks back, the Lord showed me that I was to step back and stay back for a couple of years, because there's 3, maybe 4 others that God is touching their hearts about going. And that's like a seed for me. That's the fruit of going. And if God is raising others up to go, my greater joy now will be to step back and help to send you. Whoever you are, each of you know who you are. And this missions money, whoever you are, will help towards your trip, either the cost for a passport if you don't have one, or a visa. Some nations, if you go to India, you need a visa. Your travel expenses, some things like that that are helpful to do. And if 3 or 4 of you are gone, then you're just going to have to split whatever's here. So that's how this has always worked. This is an in-house offering, and we do it for one another, because I've always said, you know, you may be sowing for your own trip. And I always think of that when you give for this. It's not our tithes and offerings go in the little church building back there for the church, but for missions, you can give this way. And I always am very thankful for that. You've helped me go many times. Tom's gone a couple times, Dave Wells, Bill Ging, Dr. Solano, Patty Joe went 1 year. So it's been very helpful, and I'm very thankful that we're still able to do this, because otherwise you have to work all the time and expect others to help take care of you outside of this church, but we try to do this in the house, and it's been very successful over the years. So let's pray. Oh, Bill?
Yeah, I can attest to that, because it has been at least twice now that I would not have been able to go except for what had come through this church. I just made it possible. And through that possibility, I mean, God has worked so many wonderful things over there that He shows us. Mm-hmm.
Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that once a month we receive this offering to help someone that responds to your call about going. And we thank you that somehow there's always enough. We thank you that you multiply it as time goes on and it accumulates in a bank account. We thank you for moving on the hearts of those who share that same vision. There aren't many goers, but there's a lot of senders. And we thank you for the senders. And we thank you for the goers. We thank you for the givers. Because ultimately, you're the greatest giver of all, to whom we give praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. There you go. Thank you. But I'd like to pray for those of you that want prayer today. I won't say this morning because that came and went. But now is now. And if your needs are still just as they were before, let's release God's anointing to break any yokes, to heal any hurts, to do whatever he needs to do in your life, and you're giving him the green light, go with God. That would be really awesome. Let's pray for each other before we go downstairs for lunch.